Hey everyone, Andy here. Welcome to a very special edition of our Message podcast. This week we teamed up with World Vision for an event called Chosen. This event gives us the opportunity for a child in Bangladesh to pick us to be their sponsor. It gives us the opportunity individually to make a lasting impact in that child's life. And collectively, Bridgepoint, we can have a huge impact in two entire communities. Make sure you check out our social media and YouTube channel for all the information related to child sponsorship. And I'll be back at the end of the podcast to give you some next steps.
Happy Sunday, Bridgepoint. How we doing? Feeling good out there? Awesome. Whether you're online, in the room here at Tyrone, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad you're here. This is week two of a series we've been calling Go and Be. That's the call that God has placed on the life of us as believers, as followers of His. If you missed last week, you can catch up on it with catch up on the message on YouTube. Go there, get in the loop. But today is special. Today is special. So whether you're tuning in online or you've joined us in the house at one of our other campuses, I am so glad that you are here. Today's going to be an invitation into an opportunity that allows us as a church and specifically us as individuals to live out this mission globally, to be invited to do for one what we wish we could do for billions around the world, but to live out the call that God has placed on our church from the very beginning. Because here's the reality. God has been good to us, Bridgepoint. Anybody? Let me try it again. God's been good to us, Bridgepoint. So today is a call to lean in with us, to live out a mission with us, and to get excited about the beginning. Today's the beginning of a partnership of Bridgepoint and an organization called World Vision. Maybe you've heard of them before. They're doing incredible work around the world. You'll hear more about that. So those of you that weren't clapping, you ought to be in just a few minutes, but I'll give you some, cut you some slack there, okay? Today, you're going to get to hear from a World Vision rep. His name's Steve. I'm so excited for you guys to meet him. Steve and I became friends just a couple weeks ago, and I'm excited to know him and have a friendship with him. I'll tell you a little bit about why I'm excited for you today online and in the room to hear from Steve. Steve has been church experience. He's worked on pastoral teams, was part of an influential church just outside of Chicago called Willow. Maybe you've heard of it. So he's got a church background, but then God continued to stir in his life towards something different, and he kind of made a change. Steve is insanely passionate, but he's got that passion that both projects him into helping people, but he's also got just enough of that blend of like wild, crazy that makes him a great fit for Bridgepoint. Like he fits right in with you guys, with me. I'm excited for you to hear that. One of the examples is Steve transitioned from his role at Willow to run from Los Angeles to New York. Run. Like every step along the way. Do you understand what I'm saying? I run to the fridge and back. Steve ran from LA to New York. It was essentially like 130 days straight of marathons every day. It's wild. But that's the point that I was telling you, that he's just like wild enough that when that passion expresses itself, it's something that's worth tuning into. Steve now works with World Vision. He leads a team of 30-plus full-time staff to have the global influence and global impact that they do. And today's opportunity to partner with World Vision for us as Bridgepointers is going to be incredibly powerful. So whether you're online, you can put it in the chats. We should see some emojis, but certainly in the house, will you guys make some noise to welcome my new friend Steve out onto the stage for us.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Tyler. And it is so amazing for me, for us to be with you this weekend, certainly here in Tyrone. For those of you online, so excited to be joining with you. It's been great getting to know Tyler as well over this last stretch of time and just see how the Lord is leading through him, obviously, through your team, through your church, especially in the year that we've just been through. So super, super encouraging. It's been a blast. I was a little bit of a part of online watching the Satisfaction Guaranteed series. And then last week when Travis taught week one of Go and Be. Now, I got to tell you, though, honest confession, I feel like I'm not as committed in my hairstyle. You know, I see Tyler, and then I watch Travis, And then I meet Chad last week, you know, and I'm kind of going like, I'm not nearly as committed to these. And Tyler mentioned he was going to bring Clippers so that I could fit in a little bit this weekend. So I didn't see them yet. But I mean, the Bald is Beautiful crowd, maybe one day I'll get there. Because I know, it's coming. My only contribution is a bunch of gray. But here's the deal. When I look in the mirror, I see black. I know that's deceptive. I know it's not. But when I look in the mirror, I see that. So anyways, I'm really, really happy to be with you. Normally, my family and I, we live in the Chicago area. So if I'm not with a church, I'm hanging around in the Chicago area. But as I start out, I need to tell you how insanely, insanely grateful I am to be in St. Petersburg, to be sharing this weekend with you. You see, it was 40 years ago in 1981, 40 years ago this year, when a 17-year-old kid from rural Vermont moved from Vermont to Gulfport just down the street. I moved in with my uncle and aunt, who, by the way, were about as far from God as a person can imagine. I moved to Florida because I wasn't quite sure about going to college, and all I wanted to do was work, make some money, and have some fun. What I didn't anticipate was meeting God. And through a crazy set of circumstances, this wayward 17-year-old, bent on living his own life on his own terms, found himself in a church that changed his life. And the biggest miracle on the planet landed me at what was Central Christian Church at 49th and 1st Avenue South. And I walked in the doors and immediately got plugged into a college career ministry, got surrounded by some amazing Christ followers. I gave my first ever talk to a bunch of students at St. Pete Beach. Tyler, you'd appreciate this. It was How to Live for Jesus and Still Be Cool. That was the name of my talk that I gave. Bottom line, you all, God reversed the trajectory of my life. I then went on to Bible college in Missouri. I met my wife. We'll be married 35 years next month. Two children and a new grandson. And I will forever, you need to hear this, I will forever be grateful for St. Petersburg, Florida. There's a specialness to this place for me. And I wanted to stand in front of you and say thank you. Thank you, Bridgepoint, for being a beacon of light. Thank you for being a force for good. Thank you for having your doors open for people like me. And I'm so, so good. And to be with you now, bringing week two of your Go and Be series, and to invite you into something very cool and something very powerful with World Vision is quite amazing to me. Some of you know World Vision. Some of you may not. I heard the claps for those of you who do. That's okay. But we've been in the going and the being business for over 70 years in 100 countries serving the most vulnerable children and families. We're the largest non-governmental provider of clean drinking water on the planet. We're the largest provider of food aid as well. And it's all done boldly in the name of the Lord. But today, I want to give you an inside scoop to something pretty crazy that's happening within World Vision. There is a renewing spirit within us, and it's birthing some new ideas. And I'm telling you, there's a big idea that I'm going to tell you about in just a few minutes. So when someone hears that I ran across the United States, they usually like to hear a few stats. I'll start with a picture and then tell you a few stats. This is on the left-hand side is how the U.S. run started. It began on April 8th, 2013. That's at the far west rail of the Santa Monica Pier. On the right side is when the run ended. It was on September 6th, 2013. It was 150 days later. That's at Battery Park overlooking the Statue of Liberty. Between the two points, I ran 3,081 miles, not that I was counting, ran through 14 states, went through 10 pair of ASIC running shoes, consumed on average 5,000 calories a day. We figured I ate about 1,000 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches mid-run. God bless PB&J. High sustained elevation was 7,500 feet in Arizona. Greatest aggregate elevation change was in Pennsylvania, the Allegheny Mountains in Pennsylvania. 1 week of running was 175 miles with 32,000 feet of aggregate elevation change. Scariest moment, attacked by six wild dogs in Oklahoma. Don't want to repeat that. And the most satisfaction is over $500,000 was raised for clean water in Africa as a result of the run. Now, Here in Tyrone, and for those of you online, I gotta let you know though, I am the most unlikely guy to have run across the United States. I didn't run my first marathon until 2007. It was the Chicago Marathon. It was with World Vision. And I was a complete non-runner. But I felt God moving me past my comfort zone, beyond my fears. I actually had four goals for my first marathon. Goal number one was to hate running less every time I ran. Goal number two was to train well enough to make it to the starting line. The third goal was to finish before they closed the course. So these were not high goals. And then the final goal was to raise $1,000 for clean water. And I thought it would be a one and out deal, but God reversed something in me. I mean, the experience transformed me, got in the best shape of my life, met some amazing people who are now my best friends in life. Bottom line, God did a work. And then after running a few other marathons and a few years later, I was invited to actually go and run the 56-mile Comrades Ultra Marathon in South Africa. Now, I didn't much like running 26 miles. So running 56 miles, no thank you. But once again, God was kind of moving me past my fears, moving me out of my comfort zone. And 6 months after that race, I was on an innocent 6-mile run near my in-law's home in Ohio. And while I was on that run, I heard a little whisper from the Holy Spirit. It wasn't anything audible, so I don't want to peg your weird meter. But I had this little whisper that simply said this, "Steve, you're to run across the United States for the good of others." Now, I thought that was like a bad taco from the night before. I mean, that is just a weird thought. What do you do with something like that? I didn't even tell my wife about it for like a couple of months because I thought, this is just nutty. And I know you'll appreciate this because of you're in St. Pete and you're around a lot of water. Anytime you take a beach ball, right, you push it below the surface of the water, it pops back up again. You push it down, it pops back up again, right? I did that with this vision for like 12 months. And then finally, 12 months after doing that little gymnastic routine, I just put my hands up in surrender. And I said, God, I know that you're calling me to devote myself more to running and how running changes lives. And if the expression of that run is a run from LA to New York filled with more unknowns than can be counted, I'm in. I don't get it, but I'm in. So we did what all sane people do. I resigned my pastoral position of over 16 years at Willow Creek Community Church. My wife sold and liquidated a 3,000 square foot brick and mortar antique business that she'd been building for 6 years. And the driving question is why? Why would I do this run? Why would we endure what is arguably the hardest thing that we've ever done? Hardest thing that I'd ever done emotionally, physically. Why? Because God was beginning to reverse a false narrative in me. Reversing a false narrative. And the false narrative is this, and I hope online you're tuning in for this. The false narrative is this, that people who have less are less. And God would use a run from LA to New York to reverse that false narrative that people who have less are less, but that we are called, every single one of us, we're called to affirm the inherent dignity of people and to restore broken circumstances in our world. We're called to this, especially those who are the most vulnerable. Did you know Jesus, during his ministry, spent more time talking about how he cared for the poor and the vulnerable than anything else that he taught about? Specifically in Matthew 25, Jesus said these words, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you in sick and in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." You see, Jesus' kingdom is one of a radical reversal. It's a different kind of kingdom. Instead of riding in on a stallion, our king rides in on a donkey. Instead of having servants, he came and he bowed and he served and he washed his disciples' feet. Instead of being wealthy, he lived a meager life and challenged us to think about every single thing that we do differently. He invites us, friends, he invites us to call and receive the most hurting around us as family, to reverse the false narrative that those who have less are less, and to affirm their inherent dignity and to restore their broken circumstances. And I want to tell you about a 7-year-old girl who brought this into HD for me. This is Winnie. This is a child that Francis and I began sponsoring ahead of the U.S. run. And this is when I had the unique privilege of meeting her in August of 2012. It was on this day that I met Winnie and their family at their very humble home in the Rift Valley area of Kenya. And then after some greetings, we walked 1 mile to their water source. This pond that you see, this small pond is where they washed what little clothes they had. It's where they bathed. It's where I saw livestock drinking around the perimeter and relieving themselves. This is their water source. And then we drew water out of this contaminated water source that would kill half the kids under the age of 5. It's called the infant mortality rate. And I drew it in that 5-gallon container that you see in my hands. And then I carried that 1 mile back to Winnie's home. It weighs 50 pounds full. Think of an old school microwave on your back full of water. And that walk wrecked me. I mean, a seismic shift happened in me that day. And I've not been the same since. And my heart broke when I thought about Winnie and the thousands of kids who would not have life. And then I learned how our $39 a month was being pooled together with the $39 of other children being sponsored in that community, not only to bring clean water, but sanitation and health care, and even microfinance. On this next image on the left, it's when I met Winnie almost 9 years ago. This is before she had access to clean water and what a sense of fullness of life could look like. On the right is the last time that I saw her, just a few years ago. They now have access to clean water. Winnie is excelling in school, and their family thanks to her mom, Justina, who is a rock star. Justina has a thriving garden business. And get this, every Sunday morning, Winnie is teaching 20 to 25 smaller children truths from Scripture like we're hearing today. Literally is amazing. And we've now seen and hung out with Winnie and her family twice since first meeting her in 2012. And I'm telling you, this young, vibrant, joy-filled girl is not only family, she has redefined family. Broken circumstances restored, inherent dignity affirmed, people in their whole communities transformed. And in the few minutes that I have remaining, I want to tell you one story from the U.S. run, and then I want to invite you into something very powerful. So this happened as I was just crossing into New Jersey. It was within days of the U.S. run coming to an end. And something supernatural, almost unexplainable, occurred on this day. I had 35 miles to run on my run schedule that day, and I got a late start. I didn't start running until 1 p.m. So at about 6 p.m., having finished 25 miles, there was a gray sky that had settled in, and I started up a fairly sharp incline. Now, I just finished this brutal week of running through the Allegheny Mountains, 175 miles in 1 week with 32,000 feet of aggregate elevation change, and the last thing that I wanted was another 2-mile climb. And my first thought was, why is there a mountain here? Like, I'm in New Jersey. Isn't New Jersey supposed to be flat? And with each uphill step, I just found myself getting more and more irritated. The irritation soon turned to anger. Anger at this stupid incline, anger at this ridiculous run, anger for how crappy I felt, and then anger at God. And I'm not proud of this, but that quiet road heard some choice 4-letter words from a very fatigued soul. And then after my fit of anger, a sense of aloneness swept over me. And while I knew dozens, if not hundreds of people were holding me up in prayer, I felt alone and isolated like never before. And in the midst of my overwhelming feeling, I just put my head down and put one foot in front of the other. A moment later, I lifted my head, and there was a cyclist coming down on my side of the road. Now, as the cyclist drew closer to me, he failed to come off the shoulder to give me room to run. This added to my growing irritation. And I'm thinking to myself, buddy, I will stiff arm you off your bike. Like, this pastor is not in a good place. When he got about 20 yards from me, he stopped. And then he said, "Are you Steve Spear?" Imagine my disbelief. I said, "Yes, I am." And then he said, "You're the guy running across the United States for clean water in Africa, right?" You know, in continued disbelief, I said, "Yes." And then the next line out of his mouth floored me, as if what he already said didn't. He said, "I just wanted to let you know there's a group of about 10 people a mile up the road. We're ready to cheer you on. We heard what you were doing, and we wanted you to know," and he used these words, "You are not alone. We believe in you." And when he uttered those words, I was in complete spiritual shock. I was stunned. I was overwhelmed. I was blown away. And then this angel of hope rode alongside me. I previously wanted to deck him. Now he's my angel of hope. It just shows you how fickle I am. And then sure enough, a mile up the road, there was a group that was clapping and cheering and ready to rock my world. And this image popping up right now will mean nothing to you. But these are my New Jersey Angels. They saved something in me that day. And we spent the next 10 or 15 minutes greeting one another, hugging, laughing, sharing about our mutual faith in God. Now, I still had 10 more miles to run on the day, so I didn't stay like a super long time. And as I ran into the next mile, I just marveled at the divine orchestration of the previous 45 minutes. Our faithful God had met me in the midst of my broken spirit and sense of aloneness. He knew this son of his was in trouble, and he miraculously tapped a group of unknown strangers to surround him with presence and hope and to remind him that he is not alone. So Bridgepoint family, and those of you that are online, I have a reminder and an invitation for you. The reminder is this: you are not alone. You are not alone. I don't know what you came into this space, and for those of you that are online, I don't know what you're carrying even in this moment. It could be something family-related. It could be something at work. It could be something at school. It could be something within church. But I want to remind you, you may feel this way, but I need to let you know the truth. You are not. You're not alone. One of my favorite passages is Psalm 125, verses 1 and 2, that simply says, "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. You are not alone." Now, here's the powerful invitation. Today, you can come alongside a child, and not just any child, but a child in Bangladesh, to be exact, and not only remind them that they are not alone, but to reverse the false narrative that people that have less are less, and to affirm their inherent dignity and to restore their broken circumstances. And in the next few moments, we have a vision that would bring this radically reversing hope to children and families in two communities in Bangladesh. Hajar Rebog, that's a tongue twister, you don't have to say it right now, Hajar Rebog and Mutagasa. Bangladesh, as you may know, it's in Asia, near India. And we've been there since 1970. World Vision has been there. And many of the areas are in great need. A lot of the area is on the Bay of Bengal, and it's very vulnerable due to the heavy rains that are constant in Bangladesh. From a topography standpoint, in many of the areas, it's basically a floating slum. It's children living in extreme poverty, plus experience regular natural disasters, and 98% Buddhist. I mean, then this is like the wild, wild west of humanitarian work, holding out the light of Christ. I mean, it's pioneering work for sure. And honestly, the pairing of the pioneering community faith here at Bridgepoint and doing that with the work that's happening in Hajar Rebog and Mutagasa, I mean, this is no coincidence, friends. It isn't. And get this, there are 7,000 children that are waiting in these two communities to be sponsored. And the leaders here at Bridgepoint have said, "Hey, whoa, what would it look like if we as a faith community said, let's have 200 of them counted on from the Bridgepoint family?" So today, we want to boldly invite you, every one of you, to become a child sponsor. To say yes to sponsoring one of the hundreds of kids in Hajaribagh and Mutagasa who are desperately waiting on a sponsor, and how your $39 a month will be pooled together, just as with Winnie, to restore broken circumstances and affirm their dignity. And as you may know, we as World Vision, we've been partnering with churches all over the U.S. In the same fashion by asking one person to sponsor a child in a community. And typically how we would have you do this is that today you would go out into the lobby and there you would see some string and clothespins and dozens of pictures of children for you to choose from. And for those of you online, you would see pictures and pictures of pictures of children that you would choose from. Imagine that for just a moment. But for the last year or so, we've been praying some big prayers at World Vision, prayers that would continue to push us in new ways to better serve his vulnerable children. And a few months ago, he birthed an idea that radically reversed our world. He led us to ask the question, what would it look like for the first time ever if this whole thing were reversed? And instead of us choosing a child, they were empowered to choose us. So here's the deal. There's a child in Bangladesh waiting to choose you. And this Wednesday, you all, your church, will be hosting, this coming Wednesday, you'll be hosting the most amazing choosing party in Hajaribagh and Mutagasa. And the guests of honor are going to be the most vulnerable children in that area, most of whom have been waiting years for a sponsor. And imagine with me, 200 of these children in the party of their lives, a party where instead of continuing to wait and wait to be chosen, they're going to walk into a room with your pictures hanging up and with smiles on their faces and hope in their heart, they're going to choose you. And before the pandemic, our plan was to put Tyler and a few others from the leadership team on a plane tonight and fly to Bangladesh and take your pictures and hand deliver them. But obviously, because of the pandemic, you know, international travel is a little challenge, obviously, at the moment. But we did not want to hold out these kids having the party of their lives. And we're taking Travis. We're taking him to Bangladesh. It's going to happen. Once we get travel opened up again, we break schedules work, we're going to be taking him and can't wait for him to see your community connected to their community. And what's really cool, and Tyler's going to speak to this in just a moment, but this last Wednesday, we jumped on a Zoom call where we had a chance to meet some of the community leaders from these two communities, and it was a super powerful time to connect together. And another way that we're going to stay connected kind of in the midst of the kind of the season that we're in is that we've created a private Bridgepoint chosen Facebook group. And what's going to happen is today, as you say yes, a picture that you'll take or upload is going to be posted into this group, and all of the campuses from Bridgepoint will have all of their pictures merged together. And from there, we can high five and celebrate, comment on one another as we say yes for this. And what's really sweet is that over the course of the week, Our leaders from Bangladesh are going to try to upload some photos and videos to that Facebook group so we can see the choosing party and what's all going down with that. And this image kind of shows you a few of what that will look like, what the group looks like. But the best image that I'm like so pumped about is, there's tons, but this one of Tyler and his family that will be hung on some string. And your family's going to be chosen on Wednesday, Tyler. And one of the things that I've looked forward to all week is to have Tyler just speak to that power of what that will be like to be chosen. And so, yeah.
I'm excited that, you know, the mission of Bridgepoint hasn't changed. Helping people, all people, get closer to God. And Bridgepoint, has God not been so good to us as a church family, right? And so for me, this is an opportunity to say, man, this is what it looks like for us to live this out. And in a pandemic that challenged us from being able to connect with people and to see people and to know people and certainly to have the same global perspective that our global God does, this is the opportunity that says our mission moves forward because our God's never stopped. And so as a church, this is our moment. As a church, this is our moment to respond. We believe all people will receive best the call to get closer to God when they see us first helping people. So when we were presented with this opportunity to partner with World Vision in this type of scope, to do for one child what we wish we could do for billions around the world, this was a no-brainer for us to partner with this organization to live out our mission. And then it took a step further that this past Wednesday, we got to be on a Zoom call with people on the ground in Bangladesh. And I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking about my four-year-old little daughter, Juliet, and my son, Judah, that gets to watch and grow and hear more about the impact of this opportunity and how our God sees people and knows them. But to hear the people in Bangladesh share that one of the impacts of the pandemic is that sometimes the rate of child marriage was increased because parents couldn't afford to provide for their kids, so many of them married them off. And I'm thinking about my four-year-old Juliet, and that's not acceptable, especially when I can do something about it. That's not acceptable to know that there's a people of God in Florida that could move and respond and prevent something like that from happening and be a part of something that's so much bigger than us. And so that's the invitation today. That's the response today. It's not to an organization. It's not to a person, not to a partnering organization, but it's to a God that has been so good to us that when I want to picture this Wednesday, the 200 some odd kids that are gathering, I believe with all of my heart, the excitement that I would feel to know that they will see our faces is incredible. But the opportunity that before our Heavenly Father to say, God, you've been so good to us. How could we not want to be so good to others? That's the heart that I'm most after. And to take that a step further, I hope that these little kids that choose us, that we get to partner with and establish a relationship, lead us into the future. That as much as we're reminded that we serve a global God with global influence, and as much as I hope those kids know beyond a shadow of a doubt in that moment that they are seen, that they are loved, and that they are known not only by God, but a bunch of random, wild crazies in St. Petersburg, Florida, I hope that they remind us that the call to go and be is absolutely global, but I hope they lead us in reminding that it's also to step out my front door and look towards my neighbors, into my office, into my coworkers. Many of you support regularly with your tithes and offerings the work of Bridgepoint. Keep that up. We are not backing down helping people in Pinellas County. We will not slow down. But it's time for us as a church to step into and out of pandemic and back into fully the mission that God has called us into. For the sake of the little children in Bangladesh that need to know that God sees them and knows them. And that's why I'm excited for our church to globally take our mission and respond to it by helping people, all people, get closer to God. Steve?
Every child wants to be seen. They want to be known. We all want to be seen. We all want to be known. So there's two steps, two quick steps of what you do next. First step, number one, how do we get going with this? You pull out your phone. This is exactly what we're going to do to change the world. We're going to pull out our phone right now, and you're going to open up a text message, and you're going to text the keyword Tyrone. For those of you that are online, just text Tyrone. For those of you here, you know, in person, text Tyrone. So you open up a text message, and where you would normally put in bald is beautiful, instead of that, you're going to put in Tyrone.
BP Tyrone.
And then you're going to type that, and you're going to send it to 561-561-70, all right? And then you're going to hit send. What's going to happen is you're going to get back a text back link. Mine just hit. Gets about a few seconds. Then you're going to begin answering just a few questions. One of the questions that you'll answer is, how many children would you like to be sponsored by? Now, if it's more than one, that's amazing and awesome. We'll just reprint your photo for as many times as that you want to be sponsored, and we'll hang that appropriately in Bangladesh, okay? So that's kind of step number two. Then the next step is the really exciting one. You're going to go and take the most epic picture of your life. So those of you in person, you're going to head out into the lobby and take the most epic picture. For those of you online, you're going to upload the most epic picture of you and others of your life. Why is it epic? Because it's going to hang on some string in Bangladesh, and a child is going to choose you. And it's just super, super amazing that that's going to happen. Now, we got a couple of reminders, though, for you before you go and before Tyler prays this out, is you got to do all of this by 9 p.m. tonight. So we've got to give our team in Bangladesh the time to print all the photos and get them done so they're ready for the choosing party. If you have any technical difficulties whatsoever, don't sweat it. We have people out in the lobby with iPads. We have people online that can assist you with that, so don't worry about that. And then finally, you do not want to miss church next Sunday. Next Sunday is Reveal Sunday. This is when you're going to get an envelope in which you're going to have a picture of the child holding your picture. You'll find out who chose you, and it will mark you. I'm telling you, it will mark you in such a huge way. And I just wanted to say thank you. I wanted to say thank you on behalf of World Vision just for being a part of this journey. But I want to say thank you again for being a part of the church here at Bridgepoint and being in St. Petersburg. And I, like I said, it was 40 years ago that God rocked my world. And I've not been on a stage in St. Petersburg at a church in 40 years. And I'm here on yours. And I'm just grateful. I'm so very grateful to you, Tyler, and to you all as a church. And my wife and my daughter and my son-in-law are here this weekend. And I asked Tyler if it would be okay that we could be chosen alongside you. So in about 5 minutes, I'm going to be out in the lobby with you, with my family. And our picture is going to hang on some string in Bangladesh, and a kid is going to choose us. So just to be a part of this is so meaningful. So very, very grateful. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Steve. This is who we are, church. We are helping people, all people, to get closer to God. And so this is our moment. This is our call. Our team, our volunteers, our staff have been excited about this because it's the time. It's our time to step into global impact, and you get to step into it right from your seat in the room and online. A couple reminders. As much as we're going to partner and begin a relationship with a kid in one of two villages in Bangladesh, if you have kids in Kids Point, you're still responsible for them, okay? It's not a trade. Go grab them from Kids Point. Make sure they're part of the epic photo with you to do it as a family. But this is us living out our mission. This is us living out the call. I'm going to pray us out, but before I do, maybe what you needed to hear today was also, you are not alone. God sees you. He knows you. He sees those tears. He knows those hurts. God is with you. So our response today is movement toward the vulnerable. But if today part of your journey also needs to be prayer and care, our prayer and care space is open online. Just click a button in the room, out the doors and to the right. That will be available because the commitment to helping people, all people, applies to you and me as well. I'm so excited about what God is doing in our church. I'm so excited about the global impact that is in motion this morning and all throughout today. I'm so grateful to God that he loved us enough that he sent Jesus, his only son, that makes all this possible. Helping people, Bridgepoint. It's who we are. It's what we do. Let's pray together. God, you have been so good to us. You have been so good to us. God, our church exists to be on mission as a response to your goodness. And God, the call is in front of us. Would you give us the courage? Would you give us the strength to respond as you are leading? God, would you prepare the hearts of kids and families in Bangladesh about to have a bunch of wild Floridians invade their lives? But God, more than that, will you prepare them that they're about to be known and recognized and have tangible evidence of who you are and your work in the world? God, thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing in St. Petersburg, Pinellas County, to the ends of the earth. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you, Bridgepoint. We'll see you next week. Let's go.
If you're listening to this before 9 p.m. on Sunday, May 23rd, and you want to receive your reveal envelope next week at one of our physical campuses, please use the code for the campus you plan to attend. If you're listening to this after 9 p.m. on Sunday, May 23rd, please use the BP Tyrone code. You'll receive your reveal by email. So those codes are BP Tyrone, BP Downtown, and BP Seminole. You need to text them to 56170. And if you're sponsoring a child, please join our BP Chosen Facebook group. You can find that by searching for Bridgepoint Church Chosen in the group section on Facebook. We're so excited to be on this mission with you, Bridgepoint. Have a great week, everyone.